mountains, but he is not the God of the valleys. I will give all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah. And they encamped one over against the other 7 days, and it came to pass that on the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel smote with the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day, and the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and the wall fell on 27,000 men of them that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city from chamber to chamber. Can we read the Psalm 84? To the chief musician upon the Gittith of the sons of Korah, a psalm. And verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, they in whose heart are the highways. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a wellspring. Yea, the early rain covereth it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each one will appear before God in Zion. Jehovah God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Father, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Jehovah alone is a sun and shield. Jehovah will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Jehovah of hosts, blessed is the man that confideth in thee. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And finally in Hosea and chapter 2 and verse 14. Hosea 2 verse 14. Therefore behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak to her heart, and I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. The impression I have is to speak of the God of the valleys. These psalms that I've, the psalm and Hosea, all speak of valleys. The valley of weeping, the valley of the shadow of death, and the valley of hope. And I just thought, felt laid upon me that we could get some encouragement from these scriptures. And I read this one in 1 Kings 20. Because it speaks of the enemy of the people of Israel assumed that God was only the God of the mountains. In our Christian experience, when we're maybe on a spiritual high, everything seems rosy and we're pretty vibrant and alive. But when things go wrong, we get quite down. And I think the enemy, as typified in this king here, thought when the people were in the valley, that was his moment to strike. Like the enemy of our souls, you know, he brings his attacks against us when things turn bad in our lives. And the word of Jehovah came to the king. He wasn't a particularly good king of Israel, but just shows God's protective hand over them at this time to assure them. Because the Syrians have said, Jehovah is the God of the mountains. He is not the God of the valleys. I will give all this great multitude into thy hand. So he's the God of the mountains, but he's too the God of the valleys. I think we can see that worked out and typified in the life of Job, you know, because Satan came before God and he said, hast thou considered my servant Job? And he said, well, he couldn't do anything about it because God had put a shield around him and protected him. So God allowed Satan to cause much distress and suffering to come into the life of Job, because God was to prove Job that he, what an upright man he was. There was much that had to be worked out in Job's life, in his experience. I think of what, those chapters that we read, and yes, he had been blessed, but all the blessing that he had was taken away. His health, his family, his business, everything was taken away. And his wife said to him, curse God and die. But Job's faith in God was so strong that he wouldn't do that. He kept his trust, but he had to learn much through the suffering that God brought into his life. And at the end it says, God bless the latter end of Job. Think of a man who could say, I repent in dust and ashes. What a wonderful working out it was of the ways of God in his life. So I just read these Psalms. This Psalm 84, lovely psalm it is, but they have this valley, the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. Think of who was to the chief musician upon Gittith, the sons of Korah, a psalm. But we know that Korah's history, Dathan and Abiram had rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and they were lost their lives. But it's a wonderful thing that God preserved their children. They were Levites, and God preserved them. And this psalm is a psalm, I suppose, written out of their experiences. And it's in relation to the house of God and to the tabernacles of Jehovah. Think of their desire. And at the present time, we might be going through much trials in our circumstances, whatever it is. And the valley of weeping, what a thought it is in relation to the testimony even. We consider all that's taken place, even in our lifetimes. It's much to bring sorrow and weeping upon the people of God at the present time. We look back and we can see the destruction that the enemy has made. And yet, through this valley, there is a wellspring, a continual source of supply. Dear brethren, even in our darkest moments and deepest exercises we go through, there is a continual source of supply, a wellspring. And there's something that we can draw on. The resources are available to us in Christ. We realize the one in whom all our blessings is. We realize that God passes us through these things, that he might prove us, but too that we might learn something from him as well. And the blessings that he brings in. Yes, he speaks about the early rain covereth with blessings. Well, the early rain comes when the seed has been sown. The fields have been plowed and the seed has been sown in relation to fruitfulness later on. It says they go from strength to strength. Each one will appear before God in Zion. These people had a desire for the house of God. It said, blessed the man whose strength is in thee. And it says the man who speaks about they that dwell in the house will be constantly praising thee. Verse 4. What a thought it is, the house of God. Is that where our hopes and our desires lie? In relation to what's for God, we're on a journey, dear brethren, on a journey to glory, where our eternal home will be, where Christ is the centre, and we'll have our heart in constantly praising him. What a wonderful prospect it is, isn't it, that we have before us. Think of all that's going on around us in the world at the present time, the confusion, the mess that the whole world is in, is away from God. But the believer has this wonderful living hope to be in the presence of God eternally. What hope this is, what blessing it is for us. It says that he could say, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Is that how we view it? Even as we come together, how do we view our occasions? Is it just a question of turning up? Or we really, really feel the blessing of being together, having our part in the service of God? What a wonderful blessing and privilege it is, you know, at the present time. Yes, we're in small circumstances and restricted circumstances, but what a blessing it is that we can have these things before us. He said, I'd rather stand at the threshold of the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Do we feel like that? Is that where our joy is? In the presence of God, as amongst the saints? Or is it, would we rather be in this poor, sad world which is going on fast to destruction? We worry maybe about all that's taking place, but everything's in God's hands, you know. He's working it all out. Yes, there are Christians who are really suffering and being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. But there's no tear that isn't taken account of. There's no weeping that God doesn't know. That my tears are in a... speaks about the bottle. Tears kept in the bottle. Everyone here in this company has passed through times of sorrow, times of difficulty. But God knows all about them. And the purpose of these things is to enrich the service of God, to enrich the praise that there might be a return for what he passes us through. And so he speaks of Jehovah as a sun and a shield. What a wonderful thing it is, son, to know this. So I read in Psalm 23, I know we had a word on it recently, the psalm, but just that the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow here. We know that a shadow isn't anything in itself. Mm. Shadow is caused by sun shining upon something which causes a shadow, as her brother spoke recently, the valley of the shadow of death. For the believer, you know, death has been taken away, the power of it has been taken away, because Jesus has been there for us. He's broken its power. But there's a shadow of death, and it lies upon each one of us, and we have to face it at some point or other in our lives. And he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What a blessing, isn't it? Thou art with me. Jesus is with us, because he's been there before. He's tasted death for everything, it says. But those that put their trust in him, they know something of him being with us. In all these moments that come upon us, he said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, the rod of the shepherd would be two things. One's for keeping the sheep right, and I think the staff brings the element of support. And we need the discipline of the Lord to keep us right. We all have to experience that in some form or other. But then there's a staff, there's a support to be found. Isn't it wonderful to realise that he's with us through these moments? But then in this psalm, he says, thou preparest the table for me before the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Even in David, in all that he went through, he knew what it was to be chased, and often he felt that his life would come to an end. But he proved that this God was with him right through everything. May that be the experience that we have. And then I finally read of the Valley of Achor. We spoke about this last week in our reading, didn't we? The Valley of Achor, the place of trouble. It was a place of trouble, the Valley of Achor, because of Achan's sin. There was judgment, you know, cast upon the people there. And it's in the place of judgment. This is the place of the door of hope. Jesus has taken the judgment. He's been there. He's borne the judgment for us. We have hope. Speaks in Romans, isn't it? About hope. The believer has hope. Well, what a thing it is. And this is in relation to Israel, of course, the coming day when he would say, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak to her heart. Well, even in the troubles that come upon us, do we know something of the Lord speaking to us in these things? That to allure us, to bring us back, he said, I will give her vineyards for thence, and the valley of Achor for a day of hope. The place where their judgment was, a place of trouble, that's the place of hope. What a thing to have hope, dear brethren, in this sad world at the present time. Hope does not make ashamed, it says. But may we just be encouraged with these thoughts. The God of the valleys. Many valleys, many difficult times amongst the brethren. We have the mountains as well. What a thought that is, the blessings and joy that we experience. But in the valleys, I think we prove God more than anything. May the Lord bless the words.
Amen. Amen. Amen.